business people who are kingdom business people struggle in this area. They have good products, they have a good service, but they are shy to market it. I used to be like that.
Interesting.
Because I at that time, my mindset was marketing is manipulating people to collect money from them. And I said, I don't want to manipulate people. I don't want to collect people's money. So I just kept talking about what I did and never really encouraged people to buy. But guess what? You know, I was struggling in those beginning days. And one day the Holy Spirit said to me, Mr. Benson,
please be so kind to support us by clicking the like button and subscribing to our channel to be notified of all future content. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this next episode of the KOG, that's the Kingdom of God Entrepreneur Show. I'm your host, Stephen Harris. And today, joining us on the show is Mr. Benson Agbortogo. How are you doing today, Benson?
I am doing fantastic.
It's great to have you here. You're joining us from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, correct?
That is correct. This is where God lives.
That's what I hear. And every time I'm in the area, I do kind of feel it there. So I can agree with you. It's a good place. But to the audience, let me just tell you a little bit about Mr. Benson. He is the creator of the Consistent Profit Tree System, which helps business owners and entrepreneurs in the construction and service industry generate more profit while working fewer hours. While living in his native African homeland at age 13, he discovered the immense love of a wealthy God and embarked on a quest to eradicate poverty. Benson became a missionary pastor with the purpose of helping people dedicate their lives to God, but noticed most people still struggled economically and lived in financial poverty. The Lord urged Benson to seek to understand the timeless proven economic principles of creating wealth and help others experience financial abundance. He moved to the USA, where he has earned both a BS in business management and an MBA. Since then, Benson has served business owners through his kingdom-based consulting services. He's authored 4 books, including The Business System That Never Fails. Well, that is my introduction of you. Please tell us about yourself.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Steven, for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. And to the audience, thank you so much for listening. Of course, if you're not listening, we will not have a show. So I really appreciate the fact that you guys listen to this amazing show. I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. You heard Stephen say that. I'm married, have 4 kids, and I am really passionate to see the people of God walk in the fullness of what God has really called them to do, and for us to see the kingdom manifest here on earth as it's in heaven, especially in the marketplace, which is where I'm sure most of our conversation today is really going to be anchored around.
Amen. Yeah, definitely. To the audience, when I was looking up a little bit of Benson's work, he had a very, I'm talking to you and the audience, but your testimony here was very similar to mine, because you were in full-time ministry at the time, but you were noticing these inconsistencies about the people of God struggling. Mm-hmm. And you said, okay, there's something off here. Lord, what's really going on? Please tell us a little bit about your testimony there.
Awesome. So I pastored for several years. And one of the things that led me into pastoring was, I really believe that if people came to know God, give their lives to Christ, you know, their problems are going to be solved. I still believe that, because Christ is really the center of everything. But I became a little bit disappointed after several years of pastoring. I noticed that there were members in my congregation who were struggling to put food on the table. And I was struggling financially myself, you know, at the time. And then while living in Nigeria, you know, I got to a point where I had, you know, several pastors under my leadership. And every time I met with these pastors, they would talk to me about projects in their church. But the common complaint was we have no money. Hmm. So one day I just got so frustrated and I said, God, there should be a disconnect here. How can a rich God have poor kids? You know, when I read in the Bible, I see how God, you know, people like Abraham amassed so much wealth. You know, the Lord owns, you know, the earth and the universe. You know, how come? How come we're always struggling, raising money, you know, and all of that? I said, God, what is the disconnect? That's when he said, you want to solve this problem? I said, yes, that's why I'm asking the question. So, well, you have to go back to school and study business. And immediately I said, get ye behind me, Satan. Because in Africa, business is synonymous to corruption. Hmm. So I couldn't fathom how a man of God would be doing business. Because I didn't want to bribe. I didn't want to do all the shady stuff people do. And that's how if you are living in the U.S., you are really, really blessed no matter what is happening. I mean, I'll go back to my story, but the first time I opened a business here in the US, it was in Milwaukee. It took me 10 minutes to fill the application, submit, I think, a fee of about $35. And within a few minutes, I got an automated response saying your LLC has been formed. And I'm like, why is everybody in this country not having a business? In Cameroon, it would take you about 5 to 10 years to get a license, if at all,
wow,
you know, to start a business. And you have to bribe so many people along the way. So that mindset, I'm like, I don't want to do that. But I knew that God was the one really talking to me. So I just said to God, I said, well, you want me to go back to school and start a business? I'm game. I want to obey. But you know where I'm going? I'm going to the United States of America. So everybody started laughing at me. I didn't even have a bank account at that time, Mr. Steven. Everybody was laughing, said, man, you have a pipe dream and all of that. I said, well, let's see, no. But, you know, fast forward, God was so gracious. He was able to fund that dream. And I came to the U.S. September of 2003. Then went to school, went to King's College in New York. And when I went to college, I was repenting almost every semester because I just saw how grossly of a mismanager I was as a pastor. So I was repenting as I was studying business. I said, God, forgive me. I mean, I just goofed. I was not just living. So I really began to identify some of the fundamental causes as to why people do not have, you know, money. And of course, after graduation, I became passionate in helping to bridge the gap. You know, I know you have the same passion, Stephen, between the church and, you know, the business world. And when I talk to my pastor friends, you know, some of them still think that those of us who are in the marketplace are doing secular work. So one day I asked them, I said, explain to me, what makes you think that my job as a consultant is secular? And because you are in the four walls, yours is more spiritual.
Yeah.
He said, well, you don't read the Bible as we do. I said, who told you that? Hmm. He said, well, you're making money. I said, well, don't you have members to your congregation who make money and you collect their tithes and offering? Why don't you send it back and say, this is secular money?
It's blood money, right?
Yeah, it's blood money. So that is a little bit of my testimony. And I'm still, again, really passionate to see that we fully understand against business people, because there are so many of them in the Bible. Yes. And God really wants his children to do well so that we can really see the kingdom of God manifest here on earth as it is in heaven.
Oh, amen. Yeah, I know Edsel Voss is one of my favorite authors, where he does a whole breakdown of all the business leaders in the church. And it tended to be marketplace people God raised up, like an Abraham, right? Or even in the New Testament, right? You have all these different people who had their trades that were helping to fund the church and things like that. So it's not like it's this taboo thing. Like you and I, even though you grew up in Cameroon, I grew up in LA, and there's like a religious mindset that has really kept the church from thriving in a way that you know, the authenticity that's just not there anymore in most places is apparent to everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the areas where it has been one of our biggest foibles in history, for sure.
And to think about it, Jesus never selected any of his disciples from the synagogue. All of them were people who were doing, you know, doing completely different things outside of the synagogue. I mean, Think about Peter, a fisherman. That was a fishing business. You know, this guy was running, you know, and he caught him from there. And to think about the fact that Jesus spent so much more time in the I would say marketplace or outside of the synagogue than he did in the synagogue. Paul, the same thing. He spent a lot more time, you know, out there, not in the synagogue. So I don't even know where that mindset or that lie was bought by the church that we should not be engaged in the marketplace.
Yeah, exactly. And I've said it here on the show before. I feel like I'm Pastor Stephen Moore in my secular 9-to-5 job now because I manage teams of people who manage teams of people, and they need someone to come to for that guidance, that encouragement, and that advice, prayer, things like that. And I'm more active now getting paid a good salary than I ever was as a minister, as a full-time job, you know?
Mm.
Yeah. But let's talk a little bit more about your book, The Business System That Never Fails. Like, give us a quick synopsis premise of that, please.
Yeah, The Business System That Never Fails. I have it here. And again, for people who are listening, who are interested to get a free copy, the electronic copy, I've been giving it away on our website, consistentprofittree.com/ebook. Anybody can download the PDF version there.
We'll go ahead and have that link for them. Yeah.
But I mean, I looked around the United States when I came here, Brother Stephen, and after some research, I discovered that over 85 to 90% of businesses fail after the first 15 years. So I'm thinking, I mean, with all the technology in America, why are so many businesses failing? And I know many reasons have been given as to why they are failing. But I really said to myself, okay, what is the foundation that if any business will build upon, they will bulletproof themselves from failure? And that is how The Business System That Never Fails was born. So I wrote this book in 2013.
Wow.
And I stated there the three major pillars that if any business person will build their business on those pillars, the foundation of those pillars, they will never fail in business. So that is the foundation of the business system that never fails. But layered on top of that, I didn't spend so much time talking about it in the book, or if you just read the book with a normal eye, you might not be able to see those. I bring in the principles of God that are universal. And these principles, they are not influenced by economy. They don't respect skin color. They don't respect sex. They don't respect age. They just function when you know the principles and you put them into practice. For example, if you hold a grain of corn in North Carolina and you take it to the soil and plant it, that grain of corn will grow irrespective of who is in Congress or who is in the White House. The grain of corn will grow. The grain of corn will not say, Stephen, you are a white man, I won't grow. If I take the same grain of corn, you know, I'm planted here in the Dallas area, it will grow. It won't say, oh, Benson, you're a black man or you're from Africa or anything like that. No. You plant the same corn in Kenya or in Cameroon or in China, it will grow because it is driven by the universal law of God stated in Genesis 8:22. So long as the earth remains, seed, time, and harvest will never cease. So if we have that foundation of the business system that never fails, and then we study the principles of God that govern the universe and apply them, there shouldn't be any reason why our businesses will not be growing, you know, from one level to, you know, another every single year. And when I share some of these things, people are saying, Benson, are you saying that, you know, if I follow this, my business will keep growing? I say, yes. I say, has your age ever fluctuated? Today you are 25, then you bounce back to 20, then you skip to 40. I said, does it happen that way? They said, no. I said, what has been happening to you since you were born? They said, I've been growing older consistently. I said, that is the law of consistency right there in play.
Wow. Yeah. And you said there's like the five pillars, you said, right?
No, there are
five
three. There are three pillars. You know, I'll give them away. You know, people can go and obviously read and get more. Those three pillars are, number one, love God. As you can tell, the thesis of the book, The Business System That Never Fails, came from 1 Corinthians 13:8, which says, love never fails. That is that verse. So when you build your business on the foundation of love, you will never fail. And so there are three pillars of love, and all of them were extracted from Luke chapter 10, verse 27, where Jesus said, you know, if you love God, you love your neighbor as yourself, you are just fine. So you love God and you love people. So pillar number one in the business system that never fails is love God. So fall in love with God. Unfortunately, you know, many of the business people that I meet, they claim that they are so busy that they don't have time to spend with God. And some of them, you know, have this notion that God doesn't know anything about business because he lives in the church. You know, so they investing time with God, many of them see it as wasted time. But for me, out of those three pillars, that is the most important. Before I talk about the second pillar, I'll give you a quick story. When I started my business in 2009, I became so busy, Stephen. I'll get up in the morning, I'll just go out, working so hard to network, to get clients, and I'll come back, I'll be so tired, I'll try to read my Bible, I'll fall asleep on it. And I remember one day I fell asleep on my Bible, woke up, and I said, God, I'm so sorry I slept on your book. But I just woke up instead of spending the time in the book, I was just going. That pressure of going to make it happen. Until one day I was about to leave my house, and, you know, the Holy Spirit stopped me at the door. He said, Benson, where are you going? I said, I'm going to network. He said, so you're going to network to get more clients for your business? I said, you know it. And he asked me a question that changed my life forever. He said, Benson, how many people do you think I know? I said, God, you know 7 billion people. He said, exactly. And I can introduce you to any of them to do business with you. And they won't even ask for your credentials. But you have to spend time with me. So I just repented and I said, you know, how dumb am I to claim not to have time for God who knows 7 billion people, but I'm going to out there to go network to get to know some people. This is just backwards. So I've really been encouraging people who are in business or doing any 9-to-5 to make investing time with God a priority, because I believe that a proof of love is the investment of time.
Amen.
If you claim that you love somebody, but you're not investing time with that person, you're just deceiving yourself. So love God is number one. Love yourself is number two. Because I believe that if you don't love yourself, you'll not be able to love other people.
Yeah.
So you want to accept that love of God for you and really have a good appreciation of who you are and who God has created you. And then you'll be able to now love your clients, which is pillar number three. So love God, love yourself, love your clients. And I want to emphasize a little bit about love your clients, because I see a lot of business people who are kingdom business people struggle in this area. They have good products. They have a good service, but they are shy to market it. I used to be like that.
Interesting.
Because I at that time, my mindset was marketing is manipulating people to collect money from them. And I said, I don't want to manipulate people. I don't want to collect people's money. So I just kept talking about what I did and never really encouraged people to buy. But guess what? You know, I was struggling in those beginning days. And one day the Holy Spirit said to me, Mr. Benson, if you love somebody and you know the person has cancer and you have the cure for cancer, he said, will you do everything you can to show that person the cure? I said, absolutely. He said, what if the person says no? I said, I will make all the effort because I really love that person. He said, Benson, marketing and sales is a demonstration of love. People have problems. You have solutions. So if you are not marketing the solution to people who have problems, you don't love them. You are wicked. You are allowing them to die in their problems. Then he really flipped the switch in my mind, and he showed me that marketing, again, is simply the distribution of solutions. So now I carry that mindset when I'm passionate to talk about what we provide as a product or service. I really see it as medicine to the sickness that our ideal clients have. And not marketing that to them is not showing them love.
Wow. That's powerful. I love it.
Absolutely. So those are the three pillars in the business system that never fails. And anybody who reads them, applies them, you know, of course, I've extracted a few stories from the book and shared with you and the audience. There shouldn't be any reason why they're in business, because God himself has said, love never fails.
Wow. That is so powerful. I mean, I'm That's really ministering to me as well, because working in the industry I work in, I had to find my secret sauce when it came to business, right? I had to find that thing that brought me that conviction and that urgency. It's one thing to have product knowledge. It's another thing to have the conviction like you're describing. It sounds like you had a conviction that brought it to you for your own thing. And I think that's a missing link that so many of us entrepreneurs have, kingdom entrepreneurs especially, because it's almost like that fear of, I have to have arrived first, then I can share what I'm doing because I have a proven track record, right? But what you're saying is, at least what I'm hearing, and please correct me if I'm wrong, there's a journey to get to that place, but having conviction along the entire journey is one of that secret sauces that they say in business is going to help you get there. Am I right?
That is very, very correct. And talking about track record, all of us have to start some way. And when I started, one of the lies of the enemies that was trying to rub into my confidence was, well, Benson, why would somebody hire you? You have no experience. You just came out of college. You know, there are better consulting companies out there. You know, if somebody were to ask you how many years of experience do you have, what are you going to say? So that crippled my boldness every time I was talking to potential customers. And then the Holy Spirit gave me an insight.
Wow.
He said, Benson, you and I are business partners. So if somebody were to ask you how long you've been business, just tell them that you are business partner and yourself have more than 100 years of business experience. So I tap into my partnership with God. And that gave me the boldness. And that gave me, you know, the go ahead. So I don't have to worry about track record. My business partner has a proven track record. So I hang on that, and I've been riding on it, including even up to today. I still do that. When I talk to business people, you know, some of them have gone to Columbia, some of them have gone to Harvard, and they say, man, where are you getting all these insights? I said, man, I have an amazing boss. He's also my business partner. He's the one giving me all these insights. They're like, man, that sounded so profound. I say, yeah, my boss, if you put all the MIT professors and Harvard professors and Yale professors together, all of them will not come close to him. And at times somebody will say, who is this boss? I said, well, we can talk about him. Wow. You see, as kingdom entrepreneurs, I don't know if we realize the amazing unfair advantage we have partnering with God.
Amen. Wow. Wow, that's profound. Yeah, that's really ministering to me more than you would know, because that is a missing link, especially for me coming from a ministry background, being a pastor's kid. There's always the sense of, where is that fine line to cross? I often look at the book of Daniel and the prophet Daniel's life, and I see a man who was very shrewd as a business manager and administrator. And yes, there was these things, he had a natural intuition that God put in him. But like you're saying, he loved the people he worked with. I mean, his co-workers were witches, warlocks, and all these people. And because of Daniel's influence, those people who were about to be killed by angry Nebuchadnezzar, their lives were spared.
Exactly.
And you just think about the level of impact he had and understanding that. But again, it sounds like you've figured out a secret sauce that's worked for you, that boldness of, hey, my business partner knows what he's talking about. And
yeah, and I think it can work for everybody, Daniel, Stephen. I mean, think about it. You just mentioned Daniel. Daniel's secret sauce was that relationship he had with God.
Yes.
He was praying three times a day. He knew that was his sauce. Let's go to Joseph. Joseph didn't go to any business school. He didn't have any kind of business background or anything. But when he interpreted Pharaoh's dream and actually gave Pharaoh a plan, Pharaoh himself was able to say, can we find a man like this who have the spirit of the gods in him? So even Pharaoh recognized that what Joseph was doing was extraordinary, because his other magicians were not able to interpret the dream.
Yeah.
That is why it's just sheer ignorance for anybody in business to neglect God and want to do it by themselves. Or to feel like the time they spend in the Word of God, the time they spend in prayer, the time they spend in fasting, if they fast at all, that's like wasted time. That is the greatest leverage time anyone can have. Yep. Because in that prayer time, in that Bible study time, God can give you an insight that can enable you to achieve something in 1 year that would have taken 5 years.
Amen.
But people are deceived to think that, you know, it is their own hard work, you know, so God doesn't have a role to play. So they just go to church on Sunday and they feel like when they get out of church, they leave God behind. Now they have to go and struggle by themselves in the marketplace. It's not so.
Wow. That's deep. Amen.
Excuse me.
Amen. Well, I know that we're taking some time here. The one last thing I want to talk to you about before we close out, one of the things you do specialize in talking about is being able to make more profit in fewer hours. So I would love if you broke that apart a little bit.
Absolutely. So one of the things that I've identified that plagues a lot of business people is distractions. Mm-hmm. So those distractions internally and externally cause them, when they go to their businesses, not to focus on the most essential activities that they need to focus on in order to grow their business.
Yes.
So for example, there are five profit maximizers that I've identified. Those are the only five that any business should really focus on when they go to their business.
Interesting.
But, you know, an entrepreneur will go to their business, they'll go to their office, or they'll wake up in the morning, and one of the five profit maximizers is lead generation. Now, instead of them spending time on activities that generate leads, which is really building relationships with people, you know, they'll come and they'll arrange their decks. They'll say, man, these decks look scattered. You know, they arrange it, you know, do some, you know, different activities around. And before you know it, it's like noon. They're like, oh, it's noontime. Let me go grab lunch. You know, I know I should call Joe, but hey, I think Joe too is having lunch. You know, after lunch, I'm going to call Joe. Then they come back from lunch, like, man, I think Joe is occupied. I'm going to call Joe tomorrow. Then tomorrow becomes tomorrow, and then tomorrow becomes tomorrow. So they keep procrastinating this important activity that they should be doing that will bring the business, and they get distracted by all this other stuff, just being busy. So they end up spending so much more time. So we help businesses to create systems around these five profit maximizers, so that these systems help them know exactly what they have to do every single day, exactly what they have to do every single week, exactly what they have to do every single month, every single quarter, every single year, because that's how God runs the universe. The day is always 24 hours. The week is always 7 days. You know? So once they identify what they have to do, and they do that on a daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, annual basis, over time, their results compound. So now they are generating more profit in fewer hours, because those fundamental things they have to do to keep the systems rolling every day do not take a lot of time.
Yeah.
Because they are really, really basic things that they have to do. But many people know that they should be doing those things, but they keep procrastinating. So that's the beauty behind more profit in fewer hours. It's really the ability of identifying those few things in the systems, and then the compound effect of consistency.
Wow. One of the things that I've talked about a lot is when it comes to the kingdom, and I look through all the different parables of the kingdom of God, is like, there's this pattern of stewardship and then multiplication. We steward it, God brings the multiplication. And you're giving a formula for that in a practical business sense. Manage your time well, stay focused on what you need to be focused on, and then the growth naturally happens as a byproduct.
Absolutely. And at times people will say, Benson, will you pray for my business to grow? I said, that's a wrong prayer. I love praying for people, but you asking me to pray for your business to grow, that's not a good prayer. And they'll say, why? I said, do you have children? They say, yes. I said, have you ever prayed for them to grow? I said, no. I said, what have you done for them to grow? They said, we just feed them. So yeah, then just feed your business and you don't need to pray. It will grow.
Wow. I love it. I've never heard anybody break it down that simple, but that is absolutely true. Well, awesome. It's so great to have you here and talk with you. Is there any advice you would give to any aspiring Kingdom entrepreneurs or people who are already there and want to move forward to another level?
I would really say they should really fall in love with God, fall in love themselves. But since we are talking about entrepreneurship, to really love the clients they are going to serve. Because when you love somebody, their problem becomes important to you. And so now you are developing a solution to that problem. And there are so many people listening right now that God has been giving them ideas, but they keep putting those ideas away because they don't feel qualified. God is not giving you those ideas because he thinks you are qualified. He's giving you those ideas so he can partner with you to answer people's prayers.
Amen.
You know, there are so many people who have worked with me and they say, Benson, you are an answer to prayer. I say, yes, because when people pray to God, he looks for people to give ideas so that those people can turn those ideas into products or services to answer the prayers of people who are praying.
Wow.
So if God has been talking you to step ahead and start that business, take the bold step, you know, to do it. Don't be worried about, you know, a lot of the unknowns, because they are always going to be unknowns. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. So invest that time, fall in love with your clients, identify, I would say, you know, before we close here, identify one problem to start with. Part of the reason why we call our business Consistent Profit Tree is because as I work with clients over the years, I discovered that a lot of them were trying to do so many things and they ended up doing nothing. And so one day God gave me this idea of, when you look at a tree, you never see 10 fruits on it. You never go to a mango tree and see mangoes, guavas, apples, oranges on the same tree. Every single tree produces one type of fruit. And when you focus on one problem that people really know you to solve, it becomes easy to attract the people who have that problem. But if today you solve one problem, then the next day you are solving a different problem, the next week you are solving a different problem, people never really know what you are good at solving. So the last advice I'll give to anyone stepping into business is focus on one problem to start with. Eventually you can expand and solve more problems, but start with one.
Amen. That's profound. And I love the way God has definitely gifted you to simplify this whole process, because you're speaking in a way almost like Jesus's parables, taking everyday things we're all familiar with and applying it to something that seems mysterious to so many people, right? It's like, how did the sharks on Shark Tank become successful? They probably had their own iteration of what you're talking about, where it just, they put their hand to the plow, made it happen, and they knew what they were trying to accomplish.
Absolutely.
Amen. Well, sir, would you mind praying us out and praying for the audience?
I'll be honored to do so. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for your grace over our lives. You said the race is not for the swift, neither is it for men on horses or so. But Lord, you make time and chance to happen to everyone.
Amen.
All of us listening today have 24 hours. Lord, I pray that you give us the wisdom to be able to maximize the investment of our 24 hours every single day. Lord, you said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Lord, I pray that as you raise more laborers into the marketplace, that these laborers will answer the call accordingly. And I thank you, oh God, that even as Solomon started his journey by saying, Lord, you have appointed me in the place of my father David. I do not know my left and right, how to go in and how to come out. Give thy servant, therefore, a discerning heart, a heart of understanding. Lord, I pray that every one of us will continue to seek to get wisdom every single day. You said wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, we should get wisdom. And in all our getting, we should get understanding. Help us, oh God, to seek the kingdom first and his righteousness, so that all the things Gentiles and other people are worrying about will be added unto us, as it is recorded in Matthew 6:33. Help us, oh God, to keep the kingdom focus in front of us. Thank you, thank you, thank you, that you want us to succeed even more than we want to succeed. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to partner with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you much, sir. I greatly appreciate everything you've said and shared, and honored to have had you. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Brother Stephen, for having me. I really, really appreciate the opportunity to share with you and the amazing audience. And I believe that, you know, all of us, as we answer the call and keep doing what God expects of us, we will change the world.
Amen. Amen. Well said. Well said, sir. Thank you. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in to this episode of the Kingdom of God Entrepreneur Show. I want to remind everyone that the Kingdom of God is within you always. So go and be fruitful and multiply. God bless. We'll see you next time.